Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son and the gift of your Holy Spirit to your people. And we pray that he might help us to see more clearly these words that he inspired all those years ago. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, some years ago, there was a harrowing documentary shown on UK TV. It was about children in this country who were in care and hoping to be adopted. Children were shown meeting parents-to-be as they went out for days together to see if they'd found a good match. In one case, there was a very moving scene where a child returned from the day trip and drew a picture of himself next to this couple whom he'd just met. He was very, very keen indeed that they might become his mum and dad. Well, that little boy was desperate to be in a family and to know the love, the comfort, and the assurance that a good family can give. Now, those instincts are, of course, natural, and they are right. We were made to live in families. And the Bible would say that that is true not just so that we can flourish as human beings, but also to have an inbuilt reminder that we were made for relationship, not just with other human beings, but also with God. Now, sadly, the opening of the Bible shows how what we were made for has gone wrong, as we have en masse decided to go it alone without God. Some people become conscious of an ache deep in their souls, realizing that something is missing. For others, that real need is crowded out by the busyness and activity of life. Well, whatever people's awareness of their need for relationship with God, the whole Bible is about how God has taken the initiative to bring people back to that which we were made for. Now, on this Pentecost or Whit Sunday, as we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit of God to all God's people in a new way after the death, resurrection, and return to heaven of Jesus, we find in the letter to the Galatians that this work of re-establishing relationship with the loving Father God involves the work of God the Son, Jesus, and the work of God the Holy Spirit in a way that we can easily forget. So first of all then, we see that God sent his Son to make possible a relationship with him. Now in the last few days, the new coalition government have outlined more details of their big idea to shape the future. Big society matched by big citizens. That was a phrase used last week. Now, how this will work out, of course, we shall have to wait and see. But the letter to the Galatians that we've had read this morning, and if you want to have it open, it's page 1171 of the Black Bibles, page 1171. This letter outlines something of God's big idea for people. It's summarized in what we read in chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, before we can understand how Jesus' coming led to people receiving this great gift that is spoken of here, becoming adopted into God's family with a restored relationship with himself, we need to see the serious spiritual situation that we're all in. Some years ago, when I was a student, I spent some days visiting a prison in the Northeast. Now, it was a sobering experience in many ways, not least observing the security that was employed to keep people in the institution. High walls, razor wire, solid doors, high-spec locks. It was very clear that those who were on the inside were not able to get out. Well, that's the image that we're given here of the position that we human beings are in, spiritually speaking, left to ourselves. Verse 23 of chapter 3. Now, before faith came, we were held captive, says the Apostle Paul, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. We are, he says in verse 3 of chapter 4, slaves to forces that we cannot control. Now, we may well live in a day when the political rhetoric is rich in talk of freedom and liberty, of rights and choices. But spiritually speaking, left to our own devices, we are in bondage. Now, our problem is that because we've all turned away from God, God's law, his instructions for living in the Old Testament, judge us, and we're found guilty. We're not capable of changing ourselves to live by the law, and even if we could improve by our own efforts, we could not undo all the law breaking that we've already committed. So we deserve a just penalty. And what's more, verse 24, the law was our guardian. Now that was a word that was used to describe a strict disciplinarian tutor who was given the job of looking after young children and to keep them under control. So the idea here is that the law rebukes our failures and demands just punishment. Now, though we're in a situation that we cannot sort out ourselves, the great news, the big idea of God, is there in verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. At just the right time, God has sent his Son to put right our problem. God, the eternal Son, was born of a woman. He was fully human as well as divine. And he was born under the law, that is, into the Old Testament Jewish system. And he came to redeem those themselves under the law. That is, to bring freedom to those who are trapped in bondage and bring rescue to those who deserve punishment. Now, the first chapter of this great letter makes clear that this rescue is possible because Jesus gave himself for our sins on the cross. Chapter 3 tells us that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by himself becoming a curse for us, so that we need not bear it ourselves. What amazing love it is that God has shown to us, that he would go to this extent. But that is not the end. The great consequence of Jesus being sent into the world to die is that, verse 25, now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. Chapter 4, verse 5. We might receive adoption as sons. So you see, God's big idea is that through the rescue won by Jesus on the cross, instead of being cut off from him outside of his family in captivity, instead we can know the freedom of being his adopted sons. Now, I don't get bogged down in the lack of inclusive language here. Of course, in the day, it was only sons who inherited from the family estate. Now in Christ, all those who trust in him are sons in the sense of being full inheritors of the good things that Jesus has made possible. Our background, our race, our gender are irrelevant to being accepted by God in Jesus. Verse 26 in the reading, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. And verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So God's big idea is that people like you and me, who were not part of his family because we've turned away from him, through the sending of his Son to die on the cross, are made sons of God by adoption when we put our trust in him. Now, we have two sets of friends who are in the process or have recently adopted children. Now, why did they do this? Well, I guess it's obvious, isn't it? They did it because they wanted a loving relationship with the children that they've chosen. They will know a child, previously having no formal or genetic connection with them, as their child, with all the rights and responsibilities of parents. And the child will know them as their parents, with all the expectations and hopes of biological children. Well, it's similar with what God has done in Jesus. He has provided redemption, that is, rescue, through the cross, so that we who trust in Jesus, who had previously cut ourselves off from God, can be put into a right relationship with him. So as we think about this great truth this morning, can I ask, do you see your real spiritual condition as it's described here, if left to your own devices? It's humbling. It's even offensive. But it's true according to God's assessment of us. And in the end, that's what matters. But do you see what God has done in his eternal Son becoming human to make those who trust in Jesus his adopted sons, being brought back into his family. Well, this wonderful reality should make us assess how we view what it might be, what it is to be a Christian. Do we see it primarily as being like a dutiful servant? Or do we see it primarily as being a privileged member of God's family? A son, a child? Well, that brings us to our second point. And very appropriately for Pentecost Sunday, our reading shows us that there are two sendings God is responsible for. His Son, to make possible a relationship with himself, as we've just seen. And also, God sent his Spirit to make our relationship with God real. Now, a couple of weeks ago at her funeral, many of us were thanking God for Zahidi Mansour, who had been a member of our church for several years. Now, Zahidi was brought up in Pakistan in a Muslim family, but she came to see that Jesus was more than merely a prophet of God. He was, in fact, the divine Son of God who has died to rescue us and bring us into his family as sons. Well, another Pakistani Christian called Bilquis Sheikh had a similar experience, and she wrote a book about the change that she experienced becoming a Christian. She called her autobiography, "I Dared to Call Him Father." Now, such a testimony is possible because of the Spirit of God applying the work of the Son of God to our lives so that we appreciate what we have become by virtue of his death on the cross. Verse 6, "And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." You see, it is only by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that we can call God Father. It's not a natural thing to do, because without his grace, we're cut off from him. If we recognize God at all, he just seems impersonal and distant. But having been adopted as sons of God, because God sent his eternal Son to die for us, God sent his Holy Spirit to help us to realize deep down that we are now God's sons. Now, before we think any more about this work of the Holy Spirit that is related to us here in Galatians, it's important to remind ourselves of the key general truths about the Holy Spirit as Jesus makes them clear in our gospel reading from John. There's so much that's said that is confusing these days about the Holy Spirit, so we need to listen to the one who really knows. Now, we heard Jesus there in John 15 saying that the Holy Spirit is the helper sent by Jesus from the Father. And his work is to bear witness about me. The Holy Spirit, the divine, eternal Spirit of God, who was involved in the creation of the world and who came on an occasional basis to strengthen leaders and prophets in Old Testament times, he has a work to bear witness. His job, if you like, is to point to Jesus. He draws attention to Jesus. And he is a helper to God's people now. That's a word that Jesus had used to describe himself. So like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a helper. Jesus was a helper to his disciples when he was on earth in his body. The Holy Spirit's work is to do for people today just what Jesus would do if he was here with us in his body. And that's why Paul, in that Galatians reading, calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Jesus. So close is his connection to Jesus. Now, it's fascinating in that gospel reading to see Jesus call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. It's fascinating because just a few verses before, Jesus has spoken of himself as being the way and the truth. The Holy Spirit is intimately related to God the Father and to Jesus, God the Son. The helper, says Jesus, whom I will send to you from the Father. And the helper, the Spirit of truth, is a person. I'm sure you noticed that Jesus doesn't say, "The Spirit of truth, it will bear witness to me," as you might expect to make the neutral word spirit agree grammatically. Jesus says rather, "The helper, the Spirit of truth, he will bear witness about me." It's very important that we follow Jesus' example. We should no sooner speak of the Holy Spirit as an it as we would Jesus or God the Father. He, the Spirit of truth, will bear witness about me, says Jesus. So the Helper, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Jesus, is the personal Spirit of God sent into the hearts of all those who trust in Jesus to show us Jesus and to help us to live the way of Jesus. And as we're reminded back in our reading in Galatians, he comes to assure us that we belong to God through Jesus as God's children. He comes to make that relationship with God the Father a real one. So do you see the great privilege that the Christian has because of the sending of God's Son and the sending of God's Spirit? We can talk to God and express and experience a personal relationship with God the Father. And what a remarkable relationship that is. The Holy Spirit leads us to call God Father, but not just Father. Verse 6 again. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God helps us to appreciate that God is our Abba. Now this is the very word that Jesus used to speak to God in some of his most intimate moments as we have them recorded in the Gospels. It was not the conventional, formal address for God that was typical of the day. Instead, this is a term typical of the happy family home. Abba is a word which speaks of warmth and closeness, openness and intimacy. Perhaps the best equivalent for us is Dad. Christians then have been given the Holy Spirit so that we can relate to God the Father like Jesus did. We can approach God the Father like Jesus did. He is the Son of God by right. We are only sons of God by adoption into his family, but we share the reality of a personal, intimate relationship with God. God, who is our supremely loving Heavenly Father. Now, this truth that the Holy Spirit makes real is profound. We are no longer imprisoned captive slaves. Instead, we are God's sons. God is now our Father, though we don't deserve his attention, let alone his lavish love and his perfect parental care. His sending of the Holy Spirit to his people is because we are sons. There's no other qualification that's required. God sends his Spirit to those who have been adopted by him through his Son. We don't need to recite some special words. We don't need to look for some new experience or fulfill some extra condition. It is verse 6, because you are sons, that the Spirit of his Son has been sent to make our relationship with God real. Well, what a difference that makes to the idea of prayer. If you were to examine the practice of prayer in the religions of the world, very often prayer is seen as a duty. People pray to somehow twist a reluctant deity's arm. Or people pray thinking it might make their God more favourable towards them. Well, the unique thing about Christianity is that believers pray because it is the privilege of children with a heavenly Father. We pray to express this personal relationship that we've been given despite our undeserving. We pray to enjoy the gift that we have received, this gift of unhindered presence, access into the presence of God. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So do you pray with that great truth in mind? Do you pray knowing that God has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts to help us to realize the great things that he has done for us? Is that how you see the relationship that you have been given through Jesus? Well, we began with that recognition that we were made for belonging and the natural need that we all have for love, comfort, and assurance that a good family can bring to us. And we've seen that such instincts are there partly to remind us of the need for the ultimate family relationship that we were made for, a relationship with God as Father. And God the Father has done all that is needed to bring that about. God sent his Son that we might have the status of sons through his death. And he sent his Spirit, the Helper, who does for people today just what Jesus would do if he was here with us, so that we might experience the reality of being his children in our lives. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We thank you for sending your Son to redeem us, that we might be adopted as sons. And we thank you for sending your Spirit, that he might make that relationship of being a father, having a loving Heavenly Father, and being a child relating to you as such real. Please strengthen us, we pray, by your Spirit, that this may increasingly be our experience, and that we might be strengthened to live for you in this world. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.